This is the Trails Church podcast. At the Trails Church, our mission is to glorify God by making disciples through the gospel in community and on mission. If you'd like more information about our church, visit our website, thetrails.org. Now, here's today's podcast.
Open your Bible with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. Jesus is known by many names which proclaim who he is and what he's done. He's called the Alpha and the Omega. He's referred to as the Lion and the Lamb, known as the promised Messiah. And each title offers a different lens that helps us see glimpses of the glory of Jesus from various angles. And this Good Friday, I want us to narrow our focus and zoom in on the significance of this day as we consider a specific title drawn from Scripture that describes both the purity and the purpose of Jesus, the sinless one for sinners slain. Christ, the sinless one for sinners slain. Good Friday slows us down. It invites us to linger near and on the cross, and we reflect together on the final moments of Jesus' earthly suffering, how he was mocked and scorned, tried and beaten, crowned with thorns and nailed to a Roman cross, lifted up and crucified, not as a man of dignity, but as a man rejected. But this death was no ordinary death. It was the death of death itself. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, we're not only shown the significance of Christ's suffering, but also the very purpose behind it. Read with me. Peter writes, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God." The first truth that Peter shows us is that Christ is the suffering servant spoken of in the pages of the Old Testament. We sang earlier that Jesus was stricken, smitten, and afflicted, echoing the language of Isaiah chapter 53. So then it was Jesus who bore our grief, Jesus who carried our sorrow, Jesus who was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquity. And from eternity, the Son of God knew that suffering would mark the path to glory, that the cross would come before the crown, that death would be the way to life. And Peter makes two things especially clear about the suffering of this servant Jesus. First, that he suffered once for sins. The suffering in view here, which includes his death, was completely unique. There has never been suffering like this, and there will never be a death like his. But why? It's because of what kind of death it was. The death of Jesus was a sin offering made once and for all. Throughout the Old Testament, sin offerings were made over and over again. Day after day, priests would stand offering sacrifices on behalf of the people's sins. And yet, after countless animals had been laid on many an altar, not one of them could finally and forever do away with sin. And yet, all of those sacrifices and the priests who offered them were shadows of the true and better offering made by the true and better priest. When Jesus came, he offered himself once for sins. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 12 through 14 explains this, saying, "But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified." The work of Christ needs no repeating. The sacrifice of Christ was sufficient. Love's redeeming work is done. The other aspect of this suffering that Peter mentions is how Jesus suffered for sins not his own. In fact, Jesus was completely sinless. In the incarnation, in the wonder and miracle and mystery of the incarnation, Jesus was made just like us in every way, fully human, except without sin. In this one remarkable way, he was unlike us, not born into sin as we were, not sinners as we have been. And this is the staggering claim of Scripture, one of many, that Jesus was completely sinless. Was he tempted? Yes, in every way that we have been, yet without sin. Then he took his sinless life and laid upon the altar himself, the spotless Lamb of God. The Apostle Paul writes about this in 2 Corinthians 5:21. Saying, "For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." The last hundreds of years, this has been referred to as the great exchange, how Jesus Christ bore the curse that belonged to us so that we might receive the righteousness that belongs to him. He became sin, not by committing one, but by having our sin laid upon him like rags of filthy righteousness, so that you and I might be clothed in a righteousness not our own. Clothed in the perfect righteousness of Jesus. Hallelujah. What a Savior. The second truth we learn about Christ, that I pray we might circle our hearts around this evening, is he had also the perfect Savior. As we make our way through this little remarkable verse, we discover the great purpose for Christ's suffering, the purpose for his bearing the shame of the cross, that he might bring us to God. Now, the mention of Jesus bringing us to God, as a matter of fact, introduces us to the notion that something must have stood between us. We must have been separated from God by something. And the Bible tells us the thing that caused this separation was sin, our sin. Apart from Christ's saving work, we would be without hope. We would be without God. The righteous judgment of God against our sin that separated us from fellowship with him was just, was right. But now, those who were far off have now been brought near. Have you been brought near to Christ? Brought near to God by the finished work of Christ? We cannot cleanse ourselves, but Christ has cleansed us with priceless blood. We cannot undo our wrongs, but Jesus rose to right our record. We cannot climb our way to God, so in love, he came down to us, descending into the depths of our need in order to lift us to the heights of heaven, into the burning presence of a holy God. And here's the best part. Greater than all the gifts that are given in the gospel: forgiveness, atonement, new life, new birth, tremendous joy, deep peace. Greater than all of these gifts is the giver himself. The good news of the gospel is we get God. All of these blessings are implied, and we rightly praise God for each one of them. But the deepest purpose of Christ's suffering is that he might bring us to God, and in doing so, give eternal glory to God. This is the reason that we've been saved, to bring glory to God. Because of Christ, we're welcomed into the very presence of God himself. In the gospel, God gives us himself. He holds nothing back. And so this Good Friday, let me invite those of you who've never particularly thought about Jesus dying in your place to forgive your sin, to bring you forgiveness. Let me invite you tonight to respond by asking God to forgive you of your sin, to turn from your sin and lay hold of Christ as your Savior. Know him tonight as the sinless one for sinners slain, for your sin slain. And let me also just invite each of us who are in Christ to pause here in these moments, to give thanks. To give thanks to the Lord for enduring the suffering that should have been ours. Every sin that we've committed was the reason a crown of thorns was pressed into his brow. Every act of disobedience drove the nails through his hands and feet. Every lustful desire, each prideful ambition, every godless action, these aren't just other people's offenses. They were ours. And yet, here is the good news of Good Friday. Because of Christ, we don't have to hang our heads in shame. But no, the gospel lifts our gaze to behold the finished work of Christ himself, the suffering servant who's paid the price for our sin, the perfect Savior who showed to us such perfect love. And oh, what a comfort that is in our suffering. What a comfort that is in our sin. The Prince of Peace suffered in your place. Believer, the Lamb of God was slain for your sin. The great judge of all has declared you not guilty. The Lord Almighty clothed you in everlasting righteousness, and the eternal God has become your great reward. And so tonight we remember and we proclaim, Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. So I pray that this evening our hearts would be refreshed as together we praise the sinless one for sinners slain. Let's pray. In praise you we do, our suffering servant, our perfect Savior. And to you be all the glory and power and honor and praise that are rightly yours for the salvation you have won for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from The Trails Church. We hope you have been encouraged, equipped, and edified by time spent together in God's Word. And again, if you'd like to find out more about The Trails Church, visit our website, thetrails.org.